The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 352, recorded on June 5th, 2014. To the 352nd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 185th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am John Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and gaming history. So, Paul's here and not here. Who knows? Maybe he'll pop into the podcast a little bit later. I don't know.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah. Ooh. There was no podcast last week because I was sick as a dog. And we've had a lot of scheduling conflicts this week, but this podcast should be released on the usual Friday, so at least there's that.
The scheduling conflict was entirely my fault. I admit it.
And the thing is that scheduling is tight because E3 is this Monday. And once again, Microsoft and Electronic Arts invited me to their press briefings. And once again, they're right next to each other. And once again, they're right after each other. So I'll be going straight from Microsoft to Electronic Arts, which was, you know, last year it was very surreal because it was sort of like Microsoft and Electronic Arts are holding hands, you know.
Who's up first this
Microsoft.
Year? Microsoft's up first. Yeah. Okay.
It's funny because Nintendo's doing their little thing again. They're being passive aggressive about being at E3. Sort of like, we're not at E3, but we are.
Yeah, so you can watch our video broadcast from our own hotel room as we tell you all the cool things that we should be showing you but aren't.
Speaking of cool things, Electronic Arts gave me a special embed link. So I'm going to add that to Gaming Podcast and Game Stooge so that you could watch the press conference live as well.
Does this make you an embedded reporter?
I don't know. I wish. I also know that I have to dump my printer. And it isn't that it's run out of ink. It's just that this Canon sucks.
Yeah, Canon makes fine cameras.
And the thing is that, you know, what drives me nuts is the paper feed. And when it doesn't know how to feed paper, then it just drives me up the wall. And I'm probably going to go back to HP, get a Photo Smart, so at least I can print photos again.
I have a Konica Minolta laser printer, and it seems to work real well.
No, I prefer inkjet.
Ah.
So the answer to what I've been playing is not much of anything. At least I got Watch Dogs last week at the midnight thing. Well, not really. Actually, I got it the afternoon after, but, you know, I could have picked it up at midnight.
You've been busy trying not to die for the last week, and I applaud that.
Well, the problem with Watch Dogs is that I was able to play other games, right? But the problem with Watch Dogs is that this font is so tiny. And it's a pain in the butt to play if you have to stare at the screen and you don't have a 70-inch screen, you know?
Right.
And the gameplay, what little gameplay I've played so far reminds me a lot of Republic, which is an iOS game, just from the hopping from security camera to security camera. So I know that you got it as well.
I actually have not got Watch Dogs yet.
Really?
I have been busy with other games, so I did not pick up Watch Dogs yet.
Well, Watch Dogs is a part of this podcast. We'll discuss it later.
Yep.
I did get the new expansion for the iOS version of Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, I got locked out of the office tonight.
Oh.
Because I went to go to the bathroom. Right? I had my cell phone, my keys, and also my card. But when I closed the door would not open, even with a key card. So apparently at this late time of night, it won't let you back in. Fortunately, I had my keys and my wallet, but my iPad is locked up in there.
At least it's safe and secure.
I hope so.
Secure as it's going to be in New York City.
Yeah, I had to cram all my work because I'm going to be off all next week. And they go by quota, so it was a real pain in the butt. I should be able to fulfill it easily. Let's just say I did 3 days of work in a couple of hours. So
there you go.
But have you been playing anything?
As a matter of fact, I have. The Microsoft Store started doing a deal a couple weeks ago now because of the missed podcast. It was a buy two, get one free deal. So I got caught up on some games that I had missed. I picked up South Park, The Stick of Truth, and Dark Souls 2, and Wolfenstein New Order for the Xbox One.
No, the first Dark Souls is free on gold.
Yeah, I have. I've had the first Dark Souls for a couple of years now.
Okay. I mean, now that the Xbox 360 is no longer their main platform, it's starting to get really good games free on Xbox Live.
Well, they're giving the games with gold thing is going strong, and they've expanded it to the Xbox One as well.
Oh, I know that. I mean, but the thing is, the problem with the Xbox One is that's a new console. You don't have many games that you want to give away.
There really isn't a lot that they can give
away.
Same
thing with the PlayStation 4. You know, you really can't give away some really good stuff.
That's correct.
Yeah. So E3 is around the corner, and I'm going to see if I can't do a live podcast from E3.
That would be awesome. I would be happy to join. I would be happy to join that call.
Yeah. What's funky about my Windows 8 computer is that I cannot use I have to use my Skype pass name to get in, so I can't buy it from the Windows 8 marketplace. I have to get the regular Skype, which will use my name since it's not linked to the Microsoft account, which is really weird and really annoying. Again, guys, merging accounts should be available, you know?
I didn't have any trouble getting Skype on mine.
No, but you probably used, you know, you probably have your email account that's registered to you is probably the same one that you use from Skype. That's not the case here. I have to use.
Oh, I see.
I can't use the Windows 8 Skype. I have to use the Windows 7 Skype.
Gotcha.
Which is strange. So, I mean, you know, no matter what, I'll have something, you know. The problem with E3 is I really don't know what I'm excited about.
I as usual with E3, I get excited about the stuff that I don't already know about, right? All of the stuff that they're going to be talking about with Destiny, I'm sure that's fine. I already know about Destiny. I'm already in the beta, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I want to see, I'm interested in the stuff that I don't already know is coming.
Well, 2K is going to be showing me some new Borderlands stuff, at least.
Yeah, they announced the date for it today too. The pre-sequel is going to be coming. I forget what the date was now. October something, I believe.
Okay, well that's probably what they're going to have me demo. I'm also interested in Telltale's Borderlands game as well.
You know, Telltale has a Game of Thrones game coming too.
I know that,
which could be very good.
The problem I have right now with Telltale is that their games are starting to slip into interactive novels.
Yeah, it's a little formulaic as well.
Well, not formulaic. It's just that there are no puzzles.
Yeah.
The only puzzles are which direction do you want to go personality-wise? How do you want the story?
Right, right. Yep.
You know? I mean, at least Jurassic Park was Heavy Rain with dinosaurs, but at least there were puzzles. You know? There were action puzzles, but there were puzzles. But, you know, on the other hand, there's nothing, you know, if they don't want to make an adventure game, they just want to make interactive novels, that's fine. Just as long as they're entertaining.
Exactly. And well-crafted and good-looking.
Yeah. Did you play... Oh, no, you didn't. You said you were going to wait. Because they stealth released the fourth episode for Wolf Among Us.
I saw that. I'm still waiting for it to be complete before I
Everybody
sit down and
was
just
complaining
power
about how short it is. You know, it's like an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
But... and I don't have to spoil anything. The way it ends makes you really want to play the fifth episode. So it did its job.
Exactly. Know? Yeah, yeah. And the fifth episode is the last one, isn't it?
Yep.
That's what I thought. So,
although, you know, it's... I'm wondering if they made it disproportionate, like they cut part of the fourth episode and put it in the fifth episode, because the way they end the fourth episode is so tense and dramatic that they must have been thinking, you know what? This would be a great way to end episode 4.
Yeah.
And they just... You know what? People will complain it's too short. That's fine. But episode 5 will be longer. And there'll be more in it, but, you know, you want people to really be on the edge at the end of episode 4.
Right.
So, we're going
to... Always leave them wanting more. Show business rule number one.
Although, well, if I recall, you were hopping mad about the ending of Halo 2.
I was hopping mad at the end of Halo 2, yes.
But the thing is, I was just hungry for more, you know? When he said, where are you going to finish this fight? You know, I got chills.
Yeah, I did too, and I expected to finish the fight.
I will say this, and this is an off thing. When you go through the credits of Halo 2, they have this part in which developers, the members of the team, got to write these 64-letter texts, right? And one of them was by Eric Arroyo, who was an artist on the team, and his brother died on September 11th, 2003, I think, right? And he left a little, his was the first one you meet, and music is incredibly sad at the time, too. So it made me investigate, you know, and actually, Eric Arroyo actually contacted me, you know, because I spotted him on LinkedIn, you know. And one of the interesting things is that his brother was the first person to ever play Halo 2. So he got to get in and play it, you know.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean,
being related to developers has benefits.
His fraternity actually has a thing in his honor. So, not a scholarship, something else, a fund. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the first news item. Take it away, Jordan.
Game news: Watch Dogs sells 4 million in the first week. This comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Ubisoft continued its Watch Dogs victory lap today, announcing that the game sold through 4 million copies in its first week, setting a new game industry record for most sales in that span by a new intellectual property. Watch Dogs not only topped the performance of previous new IP, but it was also the best first week sales total of any Ubisoft game ever, and apparently with room to spare. The last game Ubisoft hailed as its best launch ever, Assassin's Creed 3, sold through 3.5 million in its first full month on shelves.
Time out. That to me is surprising, that Assassin's Creed 3 outsold Assassin's Creed 4.
That does seem surprising, except Assassin's Creed 3 was not well liked. Oof, and I think that lowered the audience for Assassin's Creed 4.
Oh, well, we'll move on, because that's a point we might want to make after this item.
Though it might go without saying, Ubisoft has no intention of making Watch Dogs a one-and-done franchise.
Gasp.
Quote, with such strong sales momentum and positive feedback from gamers, Watch Dogs has positioned itself as the must-have game of the moment. I'm sorry.
What?
Must-have game of the moment.
Of the moment.
Our standards have lowered so far that it's now game of the moment. Ubisoft's Senior Director of Marketing and Communications, Lucille Bousquet, said, "We are really proud of this achievement and are confident that the Watch Dogs brand has a promising future."
Now, that does have – the story is a little misleading, because the reaction from reviews and from gamers has not been stellar after
two weeks. No, it hasn't been stellar, and there's been a lot of kind of airing of dirty laundry, right, about how it was delayed and why it was delayed and the train that was running on a 90-degree track and stuff like that. You know, a lot of the ugliness that came out.
The train had been going on a 90-degree track? He's saying a vertical slice? What are you saying?
Okay, so one of the developers put out photographs, and there are current in-game screenshots showing what's left of this horrible plan. But the L train, which for those not in America or not in Chicago, the L train is the elevated train that runs through the streets of Chicago. Apparently, when they laid out the track for it, there was a 90-degree turn in the track, which would involve a train immediately turning left or right to make a corner. And L trains don't do that.
I don't think
no,
so.
No train makes a 90-degree turn. It doesn't happen. And so that was one of the things that was in there that had to be corrected, and one of the things that caused the delay. It seems like a lot of the production of the game might not have been ready for prime time, and it's a very good thing that it got delayed.
Well, the thing about the 4 million, it just tells me that it was extremely heavily hyped, because I wonder how much of that 4 million were pre-orders alone. You know?
Well, pre-orders and you know, pent up demand, right? Because it had been, it's been what, 6 months since it was supposed to come out. So
well, 6 months, months since the launch of the consoles, and the thing is that, you know, one of the things about the new consoles is there's nothing for them, so you have to have something for them.
There's nothing for them, and games keep getting delayed to 2015. I mean, the latest news is Batman Arkham Knight just got pushed back to 2015. Quantum Break is pushed back to 2015.
Well,
is pushed back to 2015.
In Quantum Break's case, though, it's more of the show is being released in 2015, so they want to have more of the synergy. Because that's going to be like, what's the name of it? Defiance. Defiance is that game which is multimedia. You know, it has the game and the show. So that's basically what it is. And what's interesting of what they're doing with Quantum Break is that you're playing the hero in the game, right? But the show is going to be a little bit like V in that it's focusing on the bad guys and their corporate office.
I didn't know there was a show. I really couldn't care that there's a show.
But, you know, it's an interesting concept. I mean, you've seen the trailers for it, right?
I've seen the trailers, yeah, but I wasn't aware that there was a show involved.
You know, with Defiance, you know, one's in St. Louis, the other one's in San Francisco. That's all. But in this one, the show is going to be sort of like, you know, V, you know, the series, not the television movies, you know, but the series itself, it was unabashedly a soap opera.
Right, right.
It even had soap opera rapid aging syndrome.
So soap opera with aliens eating rabbits.
But the thing is that Jane Badler was a longtime soap opera actress.
Right.
And she showed off her chops a lot in that.
Yeah.
I saw all the beats of a soap opera, you know, the little catty things. But the thing is that instead of the Carringtons, you have the aliens, right?
Right.
And
right.
I have a feeling that that's what Quantum Break might be like. Because how many shows do you know focus entirely on the bad guys and what they're doing?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been one that really focused on evil people. I mean, there
is Dynasty and Dallas, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's always been along with all the evil people, you did have the good people as well. So, but the evil people are always more fun.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's an interesting way to go about it, in which you cast the player as the good guy. Right.
I'm really concerned, though, that with all of the titles that are being pushed back to 2015, and that, you know, we had the launch for the new hardware in 2013, but it seems like the generation is really not getting started until 2015.
Well, you know, the thing is that that's not entirely bad, because you'll have the smaller guys finding a chance to show off their stuff. You know, sort of like the
Lost Planet. And that circles us back to E3 and what do you hope to see out of E3? You know, the stuff that I'm not aware of that should be coming out this year. I mean, right now, the only two games I can think of off the top of my head that haven't been pushed to 2015 already are Destiny and Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive just had this wonderful little thing in which they reminded everybody that that we're here. And
yes.
You made this comment, well, it's not going to look anything like the trailer. I saw the actual gameplay. It looks exactly like the trailer. It has the same Pixar-ish feel to it. And you can't be surprised because it's the same guy, Ratchet and Clank.
It's the same Pixar-ish feel, but it doesn't look at all anything like the trailer.
It does. And so is the gameplay. You know what it is, really? It's basically BioShock Infinite's combat. It is, especially with the rails. That's how the combat is.
The one trailer that I saw tonight for the first time is another game called it's on PC and PS4 called Loadout. Have you seen anything on Loadout?
It's been around a while.
That looks hilarious.
It's been around a while.
Yeah.
One of the games I'm worried about is Evolve. It just seems broken, and they have to do some major gameplay balancing for that. And for those of you who don't know, it's by the guys who did Left 4 Dead, and it's basically 4-on-1, in which the one is a monster who evolves, and the others are hunters.
Oh, okay.
So people are excited about it, but the gameplay is so broken right now.
Well, and the other one that concerns me in the wake of the delays for Watchdog is the Tom Clancy game.
Division
also pushed to 20.
Oh, no, okay. Because, you know... And they keep on teasing the new Splinter Cell, which has been around forever.
Yeah.
the thing is that the Crew was delayed, wasn't it?
The Crew was also delayed, yeah.
By the way, you know, there will be a Wii U version of Watch Dogs. And it's
eventually.
Well, it's actually going to be feature complete, though, which surprises me.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out.
And I think the tablet might be even better than what the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 have for it. Because the tablet it plays into the entire thing of having a PDA that does everything.
Right. And I'm surprised that they haven't, and again, Sony had the opportunity to pay Ubisoft to do some sort of Vita integration and completely failed.
Well, I wonder if I have to see if it has smart glass integration.
I bet it does, yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. Xbox One getting 34 new apps, and this comes to us also from Games Industry Biz. With Microsoft expected to focus on games at next week's E3, the company today got some X1 app news out of the way, announcing 34 new offerings on their way to the console. Heading the list are stuff like HBO Go, Crunchyroll, and Vivo, as well as social media apps like Twitter and Vine. Twitter in particular will work with the Xbox One's TV watching functionality, allowing users to see tweets related to the programs they're watching or check out the other shows that are trending, which, by the way, is better than when you're on Twitter alone and people are watching something like Games of Thrones and all of a sudden they start spoiling everything because you're not watching the show. So at least now you'll be able to watch the show and not be spoiled.
Well, there's the other issue with those of us that are out here on West Coast time that are 3 hours behind you guys, right?
That'll hurt.
Yeah, exactly. We just basically go radio silent when on Game of Thrones night.
Exact launch dates will vary, but Microsoft said that Twitter, HBO Go, and Comedy Central and MLG are expected to debut by the end of the coming holiday season. And I know for you, this would be a big so what, except for the fact that of the recent announcement by Microsoft in that you don't have to have gold to use those apps.
That's correct. And that's a huge difference between now and the way things used to be. Maybe not quite now. Maybe now by the time the podcast airs. I'm just going to go ahead and say now. the being able to use these apps without having to have gold is a huge deal.
You know, I find myself, you know what I'm using the most on the Xbox One? And it's not even the TV watching functionality. I'm using the YouTube app a lot. Simply because one, Mystery Science 33000, all the episodes are on YouTube, right?
And, I didn't know that.
And then you have Red Letter Media and all that stuff. So I watched the Mr. Plinkett. And the thing is that since a lot of YouTube apps now do 720 and 1080p, they look like actual TV programs when I'm streaming YouTube. Because they're in 720 and 1080p.
Right.
You know?
50.
So, and the thing is that what I like is that, like I said, my computer's linked to my Xbox One, so I just play the video. I find the video on YouTube, right? And then I tell it to stream it to my Xbox One, and it goes over to my Xbox One. So,
gotcha. Well, I'll have to take a look at doing stuff like that once the gold restriction is lifted.
Now, Twitter was on the Xbox 360, and it wasn't as used as much because, you know, it's not exactly the function. I wonder if you're going to have... See, the thing with Twitter is that you really have to have tie-in apps if you're going to do it on a console.
Right.
You know, you can't just have it by itself because why bother, you know? So the thing is that I know that a lot of people were irritated by certain PS3 games which auto-tweeted achievements. And so people had to unfollow friends because they got updates every 3 seconds from their friends' PS3 games on Twitter. You know, constant streaming of updates. It's like, no, I don't want to hear this stuff.
Yeah, the Vita did the same thing, and so there was a lot of tinkering that had to go on to say no. I got sick of all the Mafia War stuff. I'm not going to annoy my friends with infamous Second Son.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next item, and this one is of interest to you.
Yep. Sony discontinues the PSP in Japan. This comes to us from Polygon. Sony will cease... Let me try that again. Sony discontinues the PSP in Japan. This comes to us from Polygon. Sony will cease shipments of the PlayStation Portable to the domestic Japanese market beginning June 2014, the company announced today.
Which is basically this month, so...
Basically this month, yeah. Sony revealed the discontinuation of the PSP in Japan in an announcement for two PlayStation Vita Super Value Packs for the region. Sony is offering users in country...
In country. Users Sony, in country. Yeah.
Yeah, let me try that. Sony is offering users in country PS Vita product discounts for PSP trade-ins. The Universal Media Disc using handheld console was first announced during E3 2003 and officially unveiled at a Sony press conference a year later. It launched in Japan in late 2004, North America in early 2005, and PAL regions in late 2005. A remodeled version, the PSP 2000, launched in 2007, followed by another reiteration of the PSP 3000 in 2008. Sony launched the PSP Go model, which featured a sliding screen to reveal the controls, alongside the PSP 3000. The corporation discontinued the new design in 2011 outside North America to focus on the PSP's successor, the PlayStation Vita, that launched worldwide in 2012.
That's BS. They did not focus on the Vita. Seriously. I mean, everything you got out of Japan was new stuff for the PSP.
Well, no. what they discontinued in 2011 is none of the models that are listed here. There is the PSP E, which was the $99 version, which is what replaced the 3000. And really, it was a bare bones version. It felt cheap. Nobody bought it, and that's the one that they discontinued in favor of the Vita.
Do you think they discontinued the PS? Or they're starting to because it's not discontinued here. I think it's a bit late for this. Shouldn't they have done this like 2 years ago?
Well, they effectively did do it 2 years ago when no software was coming out for it. But this is a huge shift for Sony in one way, and that for the last year and a half, 2 years, while they've been trying to sell the Vita or not trying to sell the Vita, the way they've masked how poorly the Vita has been doing is they lump those numbers in with the PlayStation Portable. They won't be able to do that now. And so when they report sales, it will be Vita exclusive, and we will see exactly how poor the Vita is doing.
Well, so I know that for you, the PSP 2000 was the pinnacle of the...
The 2000 was a fantastic machine, and still is a fantastic machine. If you can find one, I highly recommend the PSP 2000.
By the way, that reminds me. Have you heard of the... Oh, damn. What's it called again? The Retron 7 or the...
I've heard of a lot of things like that. I can't say I've heard specifically of that one.
No, it's the big one. It's the new console that does the Retron 5. I'm sorry. It does 7 consoles.
Why do they call it the Retron 5 if it does 7 consoles?
I don't know. Well, there's backwards compatibility on different consoles.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is that everybody loves that machine, except for, of course, the controller, which they say sucks. And, you know, because it's an all-in-one controller, which has to do all those consoles. But they tested it with games that normally, you know, don't do well on emulation, like Genesis and stuff like that. And it's passed the test, you know. It does the, the scan line thing, you know, in which you had to manipulate the scan lines to get the exact emulation of a console.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
I'm looking at a picture of the Retron 5
Here's the biggest part, though. It uses an HDMI port, which is something that people need if they want to play their old consoles. If they use their own console things, what are you going to have on it? You have either the RF or the composite, and a lot of things don't support that anymore. Now you can plug it into your HDMI TV, you know, port, and get, you know, your console emulation great. Because, you know, if you upscale, you know, you have problems that way. So that's the big thing with people right now, is that they're able to plug it into their modern monitors and TVs and play their old games.
I see.
Yeah, so...
I'm looking at a picture of it now.
The Retro N supports 10 systems. The NES, yes. The Famicom, the SNES, the Super Famicom, the Genesis, the Mega Drive, and Game Boy modes, including Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance.
The Genesis and Mega Drive were the same thing.
Well, I mean, no. Isn't that the one we had
slightly,
the CD?
They had slightly different cartridge shapes. But
well, the NES and the Famicom were slightly different too, but...
Yeah.
They're potent, you know. Anyway, so 5 systems, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, the biggest thing about the system is that it works on HDMI. You know, and unless you want to have an old CRT, you know, you have to have this sort of thing if you want to play your old games.
Plus, it's kind of neat that it plays Game Boy Advance games on your television.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the next item. Take-Two CEO, oh, I want to hear your reaction to this. Take-Two CEO skeptical of Oculus broad appeal, and this comes from GameSpot. Oculus CEO Brendan Uribe wants to put 1 billion people into a virtual world, but his vision is not universally shared. As spotted by GameSpot, Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss Zelnick, I love his name, Strauss Zelnick.
Sounds like a villain from a Mel Brooks movie.
But he's been around forever, you know.
Yeah.
Expressed some skepticism about the Rift technology's breadth of appeal and appearance. Strauss Zelnick expressed some skepticism about the Rift's technology breadth of appeal in an appearance on Bloomberg TV earlier this month. It's apparently great, he said. Our people have tried it, love it. Everyone says it's great. I think if it's for a core gamer, it can be a wonderful experience, someone who really likes to be immersed. But I think a lot of people who play video games, for example, my kids, they play with their friends sitting next to them. So that technology is not going to appeal to them. So I think it's very much a core technology. Zelnick acknowledged that he has not actually tried the Rift himself. He also agreed that one of the program's co-hosts, when it was suggested the Rift was at its heart a quote-unquote antisocial technology. It's an antisocial technology, he replied, but we will support it to the extent it was brought to the market and works for our games. When asked if Take-Two was working on with Oculus on anything in particular, Zelnick said the company isn't talking about the subject. However, he noted that the publisher has no insight into when the Oculus might launch the Rift and observed that Facebook is not a hardware company, suggesting a lack of experience in the sector could affect the situation.
Yeah, it more or less mirrors my opinion of it. I don't think Oculus Rift is going to go anywhere, simply because we've been down the road of a head-mounted VR, and it's not pretty. I think he is wrong, though, when he talks about his kids and that it being antisocial technology, the idea that kids want to sit next to each other on the couch and all play the same game at the same time, where the Oculus Rift could bridge that gap would be for college students who are playing games on the computer across the country with other people.
I know. When I was in college, it was always everybody in front of the screen as well.
Well, everybody in front
or
of the screen,
parties.
But that's not or LAN parties. But yeah, that's not the way stuff like that works. And I say this from personal experience, watching Alan play League of Legends. Right, he has Skype up. He's talking to his buddies on Skype and playing the game at the same time. Being able to all do that through the Rift would be an interesting experience. Whether that the Rift is going to be priced at a point where college students can pick it up and add it to their gaming gear still remains to be seen.
You know, and the thing is that its efficacy as a gaming tool will be tested as well. I mean, it's all well and nice to say that you have 3D technology or immersive technology, but, you know, if it doesn't add to the gameplay, it's not going to help.
Well, it needs to add to the gameplay and stuff that is very, close and claustrophobic. All of those scare games and stuff like that will be huge hits on Rift if they can get them to work. But, you know, how much wandering around in the dark are you going to do in a helmet? You know, that's
there's also the dork factor and looking like a dork using this thing.
Well, you don't have to look at yourself when you're
people are going to be looking at you, and you know that people are looking at you.
Yeah.
And you know what you look like to other people watching you, you know?
Right. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But, you know, enough companies are sold on it where we're getting, you know, a VR headset from Microsoft, a VR headset from Sony, and so on and so forth. I think it's going to be the next big fad, the same way motion controls were.
Well, you know how to get a technology to really be adopted, right? You have to get porn companies included.
Yeah.
So using the Oculus Rift for adult stuff, you know.
Yeah, long distance relationship.
You know, just
candid photography could be taken on a holiday.
We'll see. We're going to move on to what? What were you about to say?
No, that's it. That's it. I'm done.
We're going to move on to reader feedback. Take it away, Jordan.
Listener feedback from Alpha Shard. Hey guys, great episode. At Apple, I think Paul brings up a good point that there are some men that would really benefit from this as a teaching tool. I think that they need to put
by
a mature.
By the way, we have to refer to what we're talking about.
I don't know how much can we say at this point.
It's the women's teach themselves how to enjoy their bodies, and by enjoy their bodies, we mean a specific part of the body.
the female stimulation game for Apple that was banned. At Apple, I think Paul.
Educational.
At Apple, I think Paul brings up a good point that there are some men that would really benefit from this as a teaching tool. I just think they need to put a mature rating on this and have an adult section for apps like this to go into. I think Jordan is right the majority of times. I think Jordan is right. The majority of times male masturbation is mentioned as it's usually derogatory, like in Family Guy when Chris's grandpa berates him for his supposed masturbating in the bathroom. They don't. They also treat it like a dirty word on Roseanne when DJ was locking himself away in the bathroom.
Wait, I mean, they didn't say that it was a dirty word. The worst I remember is his sister saying, well, now he found a friend who won't fight back or something to that effect.
Yeah, something like that. TV and movie games gave the impression that masturbation just is shouldn't be talked about. At Sony working on new models of PS4, PS3, I understand working on the current gen console, but why PS3? Not that I'm complaining. Maybe there will be a worthwhile addition or changes.
Well, please, Sony, I think Sony just likes to shrink their things. The PS1 mini and this mini and that mini.
There's an entire demographic of people that don't buy consoles until they're $100. And so the whole refinement until you reach that magic price point and then drive everyone.
That's not a bad idea because by the time a console is $100, you know what the best games for that console are.
They've already come and gone. Yes, exactly. And they're all used for $10. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the what we affectionately refer to as the blue light special.
Well, it's the opposite of the early adopter.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a whole market for that console. People who when the PS3 came out had just picked up a PS2, mm-hmm. right? That's the group that they need to go after.
They all played Siphon Filter for whatever reason.
Yes. At external storage for XBone, about time I say I think it's silly not to support external storage via USB. I also love the term XBone as well. Blizzard sues for once I'm hearing good case to sue someone. Usually you see a very furiously made lawsuit like the lady suing the parents of the kid she hit and killed. I'm glad they're cracking down on those who just break the game. I agree, people cheating really turns me away from a game. Question of the week was favorite party game. At first, the only party game I could think of was Mario Party, but it's not really a game I would call favorite. The fate of winning left to a random dice roll doesn't sound appealing to me. Games that I played in groups were light sports games like wrestling, however, still not my favorite. I do remember getting into fights over Bubble Bobble. Bubble Bobble's awesome. Some people just can't stand it when you take a power-up or a one-up from them. I haven't really had good experiences with party games, so I'd like to answer last week's question, which was favorite educational game. Lost Mind of Dr. Brain and the rest of the series of games. I really loved how the entire series would explore all facets of science, history, geography, math, and logic puzzles. It honestly made learning fun.
You know, I forgot to mention what my... I should have said Big Brain Academy for the DS.
Yeah?
I used that a lot. A lot. I found it a lot more fun than Brain Age.
Okay.
Yeah, Big Brain Academy. Try that one. It's fun. Oh, and by the way, if you do get Brain Age, remember, since it's Japanese, you can't say blue. You have to say brew. Because
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it won't recognize you if you say blue. You have to say brew.
So I have a brew microphone hooked up to my computer right now. Nice.
Moving on to the next item, next letter, from Paul Pretke. Let me start by breaking the spell and saying that I'm unfortunately not a hunting, killing machine from the Polish woodland. I went to a shooting range once, though, and I did pretty well, so maybe hours of Duke Nukem 3D did their job. Great. Just let Fox hear that a video game helped you learn how to kill and shoot better. Yeah. That's all we need right now.
That's all we need. I'm waiting on the countdown from Seattle right now. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah,
that's the
shooting
today.
In Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
Oh, at least, you know, well, I find it worse when Joe the plumber says that, you know, deadkins it shouldn't impede his right to have a gun.
Joe the plumber, whose name is not Joe, nor is his occupation plumber.
Well, no, he wanted to get a plumbing license. He was pissed.
Yeah.
He was angry at the taxes, the hypothetical taxes for the business he didn't have.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
At Apple, on the one hand, censorship is obviously not welcome, but the truth is the company can do and publish whatever they want. It's not the government that is limiting the freedom of speech. It's the private company selecting their content. I am pretty sure that had it been an app for male masturbation, they would have done the same. The free market allows the content creator to look for a different outlet that will decide whether to publish the content, and maybe Google or Microsoft be the ones to grab it. Now, the problem wasn't that they were... they're not letting it. But the way they were doing it was saying this is pornography, you know, right. And this is all that.
And
all
these clearly was not pornography.
All this terminology.
The image, you know, if you go to that website, the image is fairly strong, and I can see Apple's objection to that.
It's a vaginal cooking mama. Come on.
It is. It's a vaginal cooking mama. But there is no free market when it comes to the Apple App Store. You either get your stuff in the App Store or you don't, and you just don't develop an Apple product. Which I guess is kind of what Apple wants, I guess.
I personally have no problem with such an app as a quote-unquote introductory course, but in the end, I believe that the best teacher of female stimulation for a guy should be their partner herself.
That is absolutely the case. I agree completely. But
the problem is that this app was teaching girls.
Exactly. The app wasn't about teaching guys. It was about teaching girls.
So if your girlfriend doesn't know how, then how would you?
Well, it's real easy. When they say don't stop, you don't stop.
And we'll just stop right there, Dr. Ruth. Yeah. Okay, at preloading. Oh, God, that sounded very dirty at it for a moment. Maybe I'm not as hardcore a gamer as many other people. Well, for sure, that's the case. Still, I can't really understand that they wait several more hours to play a certain title, and they have to have the game installed and running at midnight when it launches. What is more, I am very wary of buying the $60 titles online. These usually games with many hours of gameplay and the ones that will be probably revisited down the line. What if I want to re-download the game in some years and the servers are no longer working or something is wrong with them? That's why I'm always a physical copy first guy. Also, you can't really resell or download a game. Taking all that into account, I don't believe the online store revolution is as successful as publishers believe. Having said that, I don't know any numbers that prove or disprove. What do you think? By the way, Steam does allow you to sell your digital games, number one. And I think Microsoft said something about that as well. It hasn't been implemented yet, but they do have, you know, there is a market for online, you know, these digital games, at least with Steam.
Well, I think the publishers are all about anything that cuts costs, right? And if they can shift the cost of distribution of a game to the player instead of having to pay UPS to ship physical copies everywhere.
I want the ability to add $5 to the game I'm playing. In exchange, they give me a nice thick manual.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be neat to have some sort of printed documentation, but that goes for any game. You know, if you look at any of the games that are out on the PS4 or Xbox One, there's no manual that comes in those boxes. If you're lucky, there's a two-sided card that's an advertisement for something else, and that's about it.
I just want maybe have a game come with an Acrobat file that you can download.
Well, an Acrobat file or, you know, a website link, but a lot of that is available. Yeah, you have to look on the underside of the jacket.
A lot of things are like game facts if you want to learn. You know, you have to go online to find out how to play a game.
But, you know, that's
why.
The bit where I recognized that they were going downhill in the terms of cost cutting wasn't even the lack of a manual. It's when they started cutting holes in the DVD cases to make them lighter so that when you ship 100,000 of these things, they're cheaper to ship because there's not as much plastic in the case. That alone is the big indicator of what they're trying to do here.
It's still remarkable to me that a DVD costs pennies to make and it's just carbon. And it's easier in hell to make, you know, it's just still, it just strikes me as funny.
Yep.
Add external storage. What a great feature. Although 500 gigabytes may sound like much. When you consider the new Wolfenstein game takes up around 60 of that, and that's only over 100 gigabytes are taken up by the system itself. It quickly turns out that there's not really that much space for games. Being able to store them on an external hard drive is fantastic. I'm not sure if the PS4 supports it or plans to do so. I would like to have it there too. However, support for media streaming, DLNA, is something I want sooner. Does the Xbone provide that functionality now? Yes.
No, it doesn't support DLNA. It supports streaming. If you have a PC with the current version of Windows Media Player, you can stream to your Xbox One device, but it's not the same as being able to connect to a DLNA server and stream your media that way. Neither the PS4 nor the Xbox One supports that currently.
By the way, the new Wolfenstein is getting rave reviews.
I once I figured out how to get off the fucking airplane, I was in much better shape. But one of the first things you have to do in Wolfenstein is you have to jump off the wing of an airplane, and it's not immediately clear how you're supposed to do this. The instructions on the screen lie to you. And if you ignore what the screen tells you to do and do what you think you want to do, it works fine. It's an interesting game. I've been playing it now for about a week. I need to knuckle down and finish it tomorrow before Alan graduates from high school. And then we'll see where it goes. My only beef with it is the same beef that I had with all the Call of Duty games, is that it's not a first-person shooter. It's a corridor shooter. It's just one hallway after another hallway after another hallway.
Yeah, but from what I understand, the story is really, really smart.
The story is really, really smart. And it starts off in World War II, and then something happens, and you wake up in 1960. Good luck.
The thing is, I remember about the demo from the game, not the actual demo, but the demo that I had at E3, in which this old Nazi woman and her lover, her young lover, who's sort of like effeminate, play this game with you, you know, with a gun and all that stuff.
I haven't got that far yet.
Oh, okay. I wonder if it's in the game now.
I don't know. I will let you know.
But it's such an intriguing moment. It's sort of like really fun. Anyways, moving on. Game of the week. Question of the week. The only two party games I ever play on the PS4 are both Sports Champion titles and Just Dance. Would you consider Dance Dance Revolution those kind of games party games?
I would consider them party games.
Okay.
Any game that is more fun drunk than sober is a party game.
Oh, then Rock Band. There you go.
There you go.
Sports Champion is really fun and something everyone can play. Obviously, with my notorious hunting skills, I am unbeatable in the archery competition. Just Dance, on the other hand, works like crap on the PS4. Ubisoft put no effort whatsoever to optimize the use of the PS4 camera, so tracking really doesn't work. I wonder if it's not Ubisoft that's having problems, but the camera.
I don't know. That's a good question. I hope he remembered to peel the little piece of plastic off the lens. Maybe there's something going on there.
Still, for half-drunk friends who simply want to make fools of themselves, it works. The highlights of each song shown at the end are hilarious. The games that Alphashard talked about, wrestling or Bubble Bobble, I wouldn't consider party games, really. I used to play them with friends back in the day because they were fun co-op games, and the party game genre really hadn't developed yet. Those games destroyed friendships more than built up they built up a fun party-like atmosphere. I'm going to tell you a question. How much did someone killing you and then stomping on your man in Joust, how much would that end a friendship for you?
Not in Joust, but Bomberman. Okay. Bomberman, there was lots of swearing in Bomberman. Yeah.
Also, they required some gaming skill, whereas modern titles are created more often with non-gamers in mind.
That's true, too.
So, hinted at this. We hinted at this question without even realizing earlier. And the question of the week is, how much info do you try to glean from E3 reports?
So I absolutely did that intentionally because I read ahead. Oh, yeah.
Well, you read far, far ahead.
So, yeah, how much do I try to glean from E3 reports? I try to glean everything I can out of E3 reports. I would love to be there in person, but I have not been able to make that happen.
Don't look at me. They're cracking down.
I know they're cracking down, and it, you know, various things conspire against me, like, you know,
I got you into PAX Prime. I mean,
making a living and stuff.
I got you into PAX Prime, so there
you did get me into PAX Prime. That is correct. So the E3 reports are always a big deal for me. I love sitting and watching the news conferences. I'll be glued to my computer next week as all of this stuff is going on. And like I say, I really am interested in the stuff that is not obvious, right? Everybody's going to be talking about Destiny. Everybody's going to be talking about other stuff. I want the announcements that aren't obvious. We don't know what Sony's going to say about the PlayStation Vita. I'm hoping there's something. We'll see what they come up with.
Well, have you heard any rumors about the conferences? I mean, I really don't know what's going to be at these conferences. I mean, I'm pretty sure
the only rumor that I've been hearing is the leaks that are coming out of Europe about a PlayStation 4 and Vita bundle that they're going to be announcing something like that.
Those bundles don't really excite me.
No.
Well, I will say this, if you're going by the Microsoft playbook, there are two things that I think will be there. One is Halo 5 pre-gameplay. you know, on the level of the Halo 2 Fate gameplay, you know, just something that gets people, you know, interested.
There's another 2015 game. Right.
And also the announcement of the first Xbox One Gears of War game.
That could be a good deal.
But here's the thing. Electronic Arts...
Today as well, Microsoft announced the Windows drivers for the Xbox One controller on PC. So you can now use the Xbox One controller on, the Surface Pro.
I still like my glow-in-the-dark 360 controller for the PC. But, you know, the thing is that Electronic Arts publishes... publishes Gears of War, so I wonder if there was an announcement, if Microsoft would just announce it and then EA would show it.
That could be interesting. I don't know why EA... Why would EA show it, though? EA doesn't publish Gears of War.
They own Epic, remember?
Oh, okay.
The thing that I just realized, there are two things that I know I want to see at the EA conference. One is Dragon Age Inquisition, which I know you don't care about, but the other is the debut of the new Mass Effect game.
Dragon Age Inquisition is one of the few games not moved to 2015, so there is something there to look at, hopefully.
But, I mean, Mass Effect, I don't know what they're going to call it, because it's not going to be Mass Effect 4, because it's supposed to be a prequel.
I wonder, too, about Gears of War, because the fourth Gears of War game, what was it, Gears of War Judgment?
Extraction. No, Judgment.
Judgment didn't do that well.
But the funny thing is, it was a better game than any of the three that preceded it.
I don't know.
It had better gameplay and it had a better story.
Huh. I didn't know that.
The problem is, it didn't star Marcus Fenix. It starred that blonde, cynical guy.
The blonde dude, yeah. Well, I saw it at the store for $20. Maybe I'll pick it up.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's actually the best in terms of quality of the Gears of War games. I don't know if it's memorable, but I know it's supposed to be the most refined gameplay, you know? And the thing is, there's this entire thing about what Gears of War was supposed to be. It's supposed to be Band of Brothers.
Right.
And somewhere between there and its release, it became Steroid Jock City.
And instead of a band, it was two guys at a time. And speaking of that, I will plug a cartoon that I've enjoyed greatly that you should watch called Rick and Morty. You need to see Rick and Morty, because I was going to go off on a riff of, it's not so much as Band of Brothers, it's two brothers. But that doesn't make any sense if you have not seen Rick and Morty.
You know, Marcus is played by John DiMaggio and Dom is played by Carlos Ferro. So, you know, at least, you know, you had great actors behind them.
That's true.
I wonder if I'm going to see Carlos at E3. I mean,
two brothers who are just regular brothers. And then the moon crashes into the planet. And then what do you do?
I got to check. I think the second season of Venture Brothers is now on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I got to, because I watched the first season, right? And I don't really watch Venture Brothers. And I don't watch it because now I just want to see it in order, right? So I'm not going to jump ahead a few seasons.
I have to get caught up on Mad Men. I bought all of Mad Men for Jennifer for Mother's Day. And we're going through all of that.
I also have to, I think another season of Justice League is on Netflix. I'm not sure.
Oh, nice.
So anyways, that's the question of the week, is how much info do you try to glean from E3 reports? I'm not answering because I'm usually actually there and I'm actually the one who's trying to report, you know, I'm not trying to glean anything.
I want to see everything you can show me. Show me everything. Show me what you got. Wait, what?
Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, set up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send us your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at gamestudio.com, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments.
Yay, iTunes comments.
So I don't know what's going to happen next week.
If you can do something from your hotel or whatever you can do, let me know. Drop me a line.
You know, the funny thing is we'll all be in the same time zone.
Yeah, we'll all be in the same time zone, and I'm on vacation all next week, so I've got time.
So regardless of what happens, you know, you will hear from me at least 2 weeks from now about what I saw at E3 or discuss.
I should hope so. We'll have a big E3 wrap-up show.
You know what? I just realized. You know who I always end up hanging with when I go to E3 or LA Games Conference or New York Games Conference? Michael Pachter. You know, the thing is that if you ever went to E3, you know, I could just imagine you hanging with me and then I'm hanging with Michael Pachter. So we're walking around these parties. I just want to hear what you two discuss.
I want to know how he gets paid to be wrong all the time. The That's what
that,
I want
you know,
to
the
know.
Funny thing is that, and his true personality comes out of NeoGAF. He is very self-deprecating.
Right.
You know, and he'll probably tell you why he makes the predictions that he makes.
I would not, if I was as wrong as he is, I would not.
It's not always wrong, though. And he gets inside information, for one thing.
That's
when
true.
He's right, you know, it's not because he's predicting anything. It's because he knows, you know,
right.
Like when Sony was coming out with a new console, he knew and he was leaking that like nothing else.
Yeah.
You know,
but when he is wrong, he is hilariously wrong.
Well, anyways, so we'll see if there's a show next week. Otherwise, see you at E3 or after E3.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.